when the shooter unleashed his hail of bullets onto a musical venue from his high-rise suite at a hotel October 1st. Equifax disclosing its data breach exposed more of consumers' personal information than it had first made public last year. The credit reporting company submitting paperwork to the Senate Banking Committee showing criminals accessed information such as tax ID numbers and email addresses. News and analysis at townhall.com.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
Well, hello once again. It's Boomer Tech Radio. I am Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
We are analog living in a digital world. Welcome to the program. Goodies, gadgets, gizmos, tech news that you can use. Wow. It's been an interesting week.
It has been an interesting week.
For those of you who were listening last week, you know that I mentioned that Brenda was at home recuperating, and so she called in via Skype, and so that led to a discussion about Skype and its history and how it has sort of revolutionized vocal communications. It's a different kind of phone system. So it's interesting when you have an occasion to look this stuff up.
Yeah. Sometimes you just don't think to ask the question, right?
Right, right.
Because to a certain extent, some things you just take for granted. And then all of a sudden you realize, well, how does that work anyway?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Be curious. Now, your host here has pretty much a bionic eye. Well, I wouldn't call it bionic, but it is an augmented eye. It had a cataract surgery, a new lens put in.
No VR in there, though.
Yeah, no VR.
No augmented reality.
You know, someday there will be.
Of course.
As long as they're in there replacing.
Replace your whole eyeball.
Well, maybe just the lens as a heads-up display.
Yeah, it could be. Should have a way to turn it off and on, though. But
there is research into corneal implants that will do things like monitor your blood sugar and other sorts of things. Now, privacy stuff comes into question when we start augmenting our bodies with bionics. Are we heading in a Borg pathway?
Might be.
Might be.
Would be interesting. In which case, robotics gets integrated into us mm-hmm. as beings.
Of course, the series, and this is nothing new, cyborgs from the $6 million man through Altered Carbon.
Altered Carbon is a very interesting idea.
Yeah. Involving putting technological implants, and technically, if you want to stretch anybody with a prosthetic limb, is a cyborg.
Yeah.
You know, as long as there's some kind of electricity involved in it. So, but in the case of my new lens, there is no electricity. I am going to say on the air that I'm very happy with the service I got from Dr. Brian Crum.
Yep.
And Shasta Eye
Medical Group.
Shasta Eye Medical Group. They did a fabulous job. And if you are of a boomer age where you need, and by the way, they didn't pay a dime for this, or getting this absolutely unsolicited. If you are in need of this type of work, I mean, this is not a thing one does on a lark.
Well, no, definitely not. It's interesting, the science behind it and everything, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, essentially, it's a little Fresnel that has, like, headlight type of Fresnel.
Houses. And any of it was projected from underneath, because that would have been almost impossible to do.
It was a combination
side stuff and stuff from the top and whatnot, but it was really interesting. But then they had these segments that they had pre-recorded, which is, I'm sure they played them on the big electronic screens that were there in the stadium if people wanted to see that part, of a coordinated bunch of skiers doing something coming down the slope, and they had, you know, flares or sparklers or something, but there were these drones.
Yeah, the opening ceremony of the 2018 Olympics.
And that was what was fascinating. Yeah. They were able to program these drones. They don't run into each other or anything. And they did this 3D Olympic rings, the five Olympic rings, with these drones that have lights on them. And it was the coolest thing I've ever seen at an Olympics opening ceremony, I think. It was really impressive.
A pre-produced segment actually had... using 1,200 drones, forming the outline of a snowboarder in three dimensions.
It was the same group of drones, wasn't it?
They just it was a larger group. The pre-produced segment was 1,200 drones. The live segment was 300 who produced the rings, but the stuff with the snowboarder and all that, that was all pre-produced. And
that
the reason they did that is they weren't sure what the weather and winds and all that were going to be
needed
during
just
the show.
Just the right conditions.
And they didn't need these things being knocked out of the sky during live TV.
So if you did see...
Shooting Stars, what these were called.
Yeah. If you did see the opening ceremony, it is quite obvious that there was a tremendous amount of technology involved in producing the visual experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that there were so many things that were coordinated and in sequence. Some of the fireworks, for instance, there's no doubt but what that had to be all computer controlled. And... the very impressive thing about that was the obvious coordination it took between what was going on in the stadium and what was going on outside the stadium. There were some coordination of things there. And then inside the stadium, all of these seats had a little LED light panel on the back of the seat on a little pole. And so that allowed for a light show, if you will, in sort of like the Fremont Street Experience in Las Vegas.
Only taken to another whole
level.
Yeah,
taken to a completely different level, but they were able to program those lights. And so we're just thinking about the miles and miles and miles and miles of wires that had to be run.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you did some things wirelessly, there still had to be a lot of wire run. And just the whole, how many people and how much time it took to program all of that up, and where did all these really creative ideas come from and things like that. It was pretty impressive.
Now, according to an article in Wired magazine, this sets a world record for the most number of drones in a single presentation. Now, Disney's played with these. There was a 100 drone show in Germany in 2015, 500 the next year. Obviously, the coordination tech just getting better and better. And this is just before launch. The computer that is running the show has the 3D image that it is going to project, and it assigns each drone a position, like a pixel.
Sort of like a pixel, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A position. And relative to the neighbor and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, it has to be some sort of communication with the neighboring drone, because you couldn't give it a GPS location, for instance. So they would have a lead drone, and then everything is relative to that, or a couple lead drones, and everything must be relative to that. So this is akin to watching a flock of birds.
A big flock of birds, yeah.
Or those fish called jacks in the ocean, you know, all of a sudden they all turn one way or the other way. There's been lots of studies done on flocks of birds like that, even pigeons, flocks of pigeons. How do they all know to turn at the same time? There's been some really interesting studies about that. But you can't, you know, that's not a drone swarm is not a thinking thing from the point of view that an animal is.
It looks very organic.
It does. It does look very organic. It was really impressive. There was a lot of other technology, you know, that they used, I'm sure. But just the whole coordinated effort and the visuals, for instance, towards the end, there was a like a float that came out, this wheeled device that was supposed to be a boat. And the projection on the floor of the stadium was water, and wherever the boat went, there was a wake in this water. Which was that all has to be coordinated. That all has to be programmed to work together. I mean, it set a really interesting new standard, if you will, I think, to this whole thing. It was pretty impressive.
Now, if you watched it and you didn't, the audience at the scene, the live audience, did not see
everything
that you saw on television. Some components were actually done in post-production, or actually pre-production, and broadcast out. But they did a startling amount of stuff right there using combination of wires, projections, lighting, you know, smoke and mirrors, everything. But if anything, the show is like over the top.
In some ways, in the end,
there was such a thing as too many fireworks.
Yeah, you know how on a 4th of July fireworks display, there's this grand finale, and it's like they dump everything into the sky, and it's all this big cacophony and visual overload and so on and so forth. The end of this opening ceremony was not unlike that. There was a lot of stuff going on, and you're sort of looking like the RCA dog with your head cocked, looking at that, going, okay, how am I supposed to resolve that?
Right, right.
When with all those computers, can you imagine the security they had to have in this sort of thing?
Well, as a matter of fact, there's a couple of stories about that. For one thing, in the middle of, now, you didn't see it too obviously, but servers there at the Olympic venue during the opening ceremony were hacked remotely. It did not shut down the lighting or cause any problems, but there was a cyber intrusion during the ceremony.
Right. Apparently, mostly, it didn't affect the actual program itself that was going on, at least as far as we know. It appeared to, you know, be what it was supposed to be. It was the internet-connected televisions in the press center, and also the official website went down for a little while, apparently. So they're taking a look and seeing where that may have come from. But still, it's good that nobody hacked into the actual opening ceremony. That would have been, maybe they could have, you know, but they left it alone, which was nice.
Right.
You know, the Olympics are not supposed to be a political thing. Unfortunately, they have probably become somewhat more that way, just because of the way the world is these days. But at the same time, you know, this is a time to honor the athletes, not worry about the rest of some of the stuff that's going on in the world.
Now, what we're seeing, and one of the things that they talked about, a lot of, you know, this is the most tech Olympics yet.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, when the athletes were, the parade of athletes came in, there were a lot of selfie sticks and GoPros and smartphones being held up. And that isn't to say that they didn't occur in Sochi, I think, were the last Winter Olympics, right? But it was just ubiquitous this time.
Now, one of the things that's kind of controversial is that supposedly every athlete got a Samsung Galaxy phone.
Ooh.
This causes problems for the athletes from North Korea.
Undoubtedly.
And Iran, because of treaties. That technology is not supposed to be exported to those countries.
Right.
So there's a lot of question marks over how they're going to resolve. This is something that apparently was still being negotiated when the show started. But you saw quite a few of these very distinctively covered Samsung Galaxies. You also saw a lot of iPhones and a lot of GoPros. Did that that strike you? GoPros and selfie sticks.
Yeah, GoPros or the like.
Similar action cameras.
Yeah. It was just very interesting. I just found it entertaining.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole idea.
No, I mean the technology was entertaining.
Yeah, yeah.
Never mind the program. That was entertaining too, but very spectacular, very rich visuals. It was nicely done. At least we thought so.
Yeah, at least. And of course, there was a heavy VR component. You supposedly some VR manufacturers are offering special sites where you can go and download images to experience through your VR headset. That was being pushed. Just like it was, Verizon did the did portions of Super Bowl 52 in virtual reality over 5G networks. About 67,000 people. A small group of Verizon employees were viewing the game through a different way. And this, two things drive cutting-edge consumer electronic technology.
Sports are one of them.
Sports is one of them, and sex is the other one.
Yep.
And that's just the way it is. You can say, well, that's wrong, but it's just the way it is. VCR sales were driven strongly by the sale of steamy VHS tapes that you could now obtain just by ducking behind a curtain, which we laugh at now because now you just stream everything from the privacy of your own home.
Right.
But this is the next thing, and I think that VR is going to succeed where 3D failed miserably, mm-hmm. because there's fewer standards to juggle. Because the trouble with 3D technology is that everybody wanted their system to be the one that everybody adopted, and you immediately ran into, as is often the case, these competing standards. And just like it was with the DVDs, just like it was with Blu-ray discs versus HD DVDs. That went the first CES that I dragged Brenda to, that was the big thing, was the two yep. warring consortiums mm-hmm. over who was going to be the winner in the high-definition disc fight, and as it turned out to be Blu-ray.
Yeah.
In fact, it was
neither one.
Yeah, it was Blu-ray that won out, and it was at that CES, which I think was 2011, if I'm not mistaken. This is the 2011 CES, that it turned out that the Blu-ray consortium was going to win, and suddenly you could buy HD DVDs really cheap because there was nothing to actually play on them.
Yeah, there you go.
Very limited number of discs. But I think that Verizon is looking at this future of entertainment because sports and VR, I mean, being able to get right down there on the field with the players around you mm-hmm. in a three-dimensional environment.
Oh,
what sports fan wouldn't just go gaga over that and
yep.
be right in the thick of it?
Yep. It'll definitely be a different kind of experience.
Now, we have noticed catching, like at Super Bowl, I saw a couple of drones go by. Of course, they have Wirefly cameras and more ways to get you right into the middle
mm-hmm.
Of the action. And that's going to continue with virtual and augmented reality.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, entertainment industry will be capitalizing on that. But there's lots of other applications, too. Medicine,
mm-hmm.
Teaching, all kinds of stuff.
Right. Well, that opening ceremony, back to the Olympic opening ceremony, one of the sequences showed one of the kids as a grown-up being a surgeon, and he's operating on a patient in a augmented reality
right.
Thing. And this was all strictly special effects. But it certainly gives a clue to where the science is going.
Yep.
Can this stuff be misused? Can this stuff go horribly wrong? Of course. You can smash your thumb with a hammer, too.
Right.
Which beats using a rock to try to drive a nail.
Well, true enough.
Stuff can be misused, and that's not a reason to, it should be watched, but to try to ban a technology, that's a tough go. Because
yeah.
If people want it, someone will make it.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty simple.
It's usually what happens.
Yeah, so. It was a good show. Well, overall, it was a good show. We watched it over the air on digital. Now, if you noticed that when we watch something over the air, the picture is actually crisper than it is when we're watching a stream.
Oh, yeah. Well, that doesn't surprise me because it depends on the
it's all about bandwidth.
Yeah, exactly.
The only thing you have to put up with an over-the-air signal, if you're watching a high-definition over-the-air signal, is if your antenna is not well-positioned, you're going to get dropouts.
By the way, is it NBC? Isn't it NBC that has the broadcast?
Yeah.
If in case you missed the opening ceremony and want to see some of these things that we've been talking about, you can go to NBC's website, I believe, and see the opening ceremony without commentary, which is, trust me, the way to go. And
you
without,
didn't care for Katie Couric's...
I didn't care for any of their comments. They were just pretty shallow. I tried to tune them out. They didn't really add much, if you ask me. Maybe
tried to justify
like some of my comments here.
Yeah,
like some of my comments here, they just sort of, yeah, that's nice there type of thing. but you can go online and see at least elements of it, and it's worth a gander at it. It's quite interesting.
So when we come back on our next segment of Boomer Tech Radio, we had to come into the radio station early, and the reason was the internet here had gone out, and I had to do some basic troubleshooting, and in the midst of it, I'm going, well, this is something I should share. From, is the power on to...
Yeah, is it me or is it them?
Properly resetting your system. We will talk about that after this break. You are listening to Boomer Tech Radio. Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
Riverfront Playhouse presents The Man from Earth. Be there as a retirement party for a far too young professor leads to more questions than answers for a group of friends wishing farewell. Is he immortal or is he an imposter? Only he knows for sure. Written by Jerome Bixby, directed by Daryl Alvey and Spencer Deardorff. Running January 20th through February 10th. Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2. Only at Riverfront Playhouse. Tickets available at the Cascade Theater box office, 243-8877, or online at cascadetheater.org.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. at ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
And welcome back, Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob, she's Brenda. This is the tech news that you can use. This week, hope you can use it. Live today from our flagship station, KCNR, Shasta Reading. And we are streaming, of course, via the web, when it's working, throughout the known universe. And if you have missed a portion of this show, like our first segment, where we discussed the tech of the Olympic opening ceremony, you can, of course, go to BoomerTechRadio.com, download our podcast, which is also available on iTunes, Google Play Store, Stitcher, or tune in radio. So I'm going to check right now. The stream is up for those of you listening at home. It went down. Our internet went out here at this radio station, and it will do that time to time. And if you have, we're going to kind of go through in this segment, go through some steps before you call the repair service, because every once in a while, it's them. More often, it's you when things go bad with your internet connection.
Well, your provider may also try to convince it's you, but that's another story.
It's not us, it's you.
Right. Yeah.
Suddenly, the problem may fix itself, and, you must have, it's working now, and they've been scrambling behind the scenes, and they don't let you know that, Fred left the plug unplugged. So before you call the customer service numbers, and I actually looked up, here in Reading, the majority of people get their internet from one of two sources. If you're in town, you're more likely going to have Charter Spectrum, which is cable. And usually it comes bundled. You get television, cable TV, telephone and internet, and you can get any or all of those services, usually bundled in one package or another.
Right.
They, of course, want you to buy into all three, but now you've got a single point of failure.
Yep.
So if you have a voice over IP system, which is what Charter Voice is, and we're talking the same thing with AT&T, if you have AT&T U-verse.
Right.
You are also using now, instead of your dial-up, and the thing about U-verse is that it uses existing copper wires, twisted copper pairs, to transmit digital signals. And they have improved the technology a step above DSL, because DSL, digital subscriber lines, generally, and some people are still stuck with DSL in certain parts of the country.
Some people are still stuck with dial-up.
Yeah. your top speed is anywhere from 3 to 6 megabits per second.
Not terribly fast.
Not going to watch a lot of movies at those speeds. basically the minimum speed for being able to even think about watching online video. You want to be 10 megabits a second or better. 20 is much better. With our UVerse service that we get, and that was only available beginning about a year ago, our UVerse is about 20 megabits per second, which is the bottom edge of what you would call high-speed internet.
And sometimes it shows, too.
Yeah. And at different times of the day, depending on the number of people, the amount of demand on the system, that, that traffic will drop off. But we're seeing about 20 megabits a second. Now, before that, between our DSL, which was absolutely abysmal, and getting the ATT UVerse, we briefly had a wireless system. And the wireless system offered by NetsUSA.net, we'll go ahead and throw that out there. And if you're in an area where you can't get much else, you might be able to get these guys. It's a wireless link that operates on various frequencies, and that was a pretty solid 10 megabits a second. And it was pretty solid. We were... the downtime on that was pretty rare, and we got a good speed, and it was pretty symmetrical. See, most internet connections, you get one speed downloading, because that's the bulk of your data, and another speed uploading. And usually your upload speed is a whole lot slower than your download speed. And if you're a business where you're uploading video clips or large files or something like that, you want that big fat upload speed as well as a good solid download speed. So far so good on our UVerse. I was kind of skeptical at first.
No, it's been quite reliable.
Now, what they had to do...
Phone calls are a bit weird because you dial...
There's weird little delays.
Yeah. You think, okay, did it really make a connection? Oh, there it goes.
One thing the installer had to do when they put UVerse in our house is he tapped off of our existing phone block, which is usually on the outside of the house, but we had to run a new set of wires back to our modem location because the in-house wiring was in such terrible condition, which is probably why our DSL sucked so bad.
It could be. Very well could be a relationship.
So if you have
there.
An old house that has what's called quad wire or category 3 wire, you're not going to get real good results trying to run high-speed data through those wires.
Yeah.
You've got to have twisted pairs to cancel out the noise, which is how you get more speed. So if you have Charter and your internet goes out and you're pretty sure it's not you, the troubleshooting number for that is 1-888-694-9259. Then I'll say that again, 1-888-694-9259. I found that just by looking up Charter Internet Customer Service.
Right.
Google is your friend.
That was just Charter. That's not anybody else's provider. You can Google, if you have ATT UVerse, for instance, you can Google that, and it'll give you some help.
Now, that's going to not connect you
but
with...
But if you don't have an internet connection because your internet connection is down, that
well, in my case, I used my phone connection, my Verizon phone.
But if you're out in the country or something, you may not have that option.
Now, I know a lot of people, I just want to talk to a person. Well, these companies... They don't want you to talk to a person because people
people
are expensive. They want to take breaks. They got to be paid for a meal. They go on vacation. They do all this stuff. But the troubleshooting systems, the automated troubleshooting systems, are actually working pretty good. For instance, in the case of Charter, it was voice activated and mostly yes or no answers, and it understood pretty much everything I said in terms of my internet is out and stuff like that. Their computer remote started our modem. First it found the modem and then remote started it. And then they talk you through other steps if that doesn't work. Well, we can kind of bypass the phone call and walk you through some steps to try before you start tearing your hair out and screaming at the, if you ever do get hold of a person, yelling at the person. Plus, that's the other thing. Customer service reps get a lot of abuse. They end up taking the brunt of the ire.
Really admire anyone that can do that job for any length of time.
Oh, absolutely. If you have ATT UVerse or you have ATT DSL, The number is really easy. The universal number for any, for all things ATT, 1-800-CALL-ATT. That's
simple.
Pretty easy to remember.
Yep.
Now, you may have to wiggle through a couple of phone trees, a lot of phone trees, but you'll eventually get to where you need to go. In the case of Charter, I didn't need this information, but if you call ATT customer service, have a copy of your bill at hand.
That does make it easier to get into the system.
You may need to give them some secret code.
Well, and the reason that they do that is because, let's say, somebody's mad at somebody or something. Or
yeah, disconnect my phone.
Yeah, the kids want to make a change without you knowing it or something like that. Then anybody could call in and make those changes. That used to be the way it was. They took it that the people that were calling in were honest, but they have security for these things.
So, again, a live person can be very difficult to get. However, the new voice response systems, the latest generation,
pretty amazing.
Pretty savvy what it can do. So here's what you can do before you start making the call. First of all, you need to know where your modem box is. And the modem box, which is an archaic term, but we use it still because we're no longer modulating, demodulating anything. But we still call them modems. That's the point where the provider, and it doesn't matter whether it's the cable company or ATT with their twisted wires, that's the point at which you interface to their network. The modem is the breaking point between their system and your system. So that's the first place you want to go check. And you want to find the modem. It's going to be a box about the size of a book, usually black, although if you got a DSL modem, they can be kind of a gray color. But when they installed this thing, sometimes they're little bitty flat guys in the case of DSL. Anyway, find out where your modem is, and it should have a sticker on it, for one thing, possibly with a troubleshooting number. But the first thing you want to look at, make sure it's lit up. A lot of times, especially if you have a cat, the
or
power hat to the device. that, of course, is Mocha the dog, who is one of our other co-hosts here this weekend. And Ron Smith from Computer Smith is sticking his head in the door. And Mocha is greeting him in her unique way. Yes. Mocha, we're live on the air. Anyway, so you want to check your modem box. And the first thing you're going to want to look at is, first of all, is the power light on? Then there's other status lights, and usually in the case of you will see one light that says connect and another light that says internet. In the case of our cable modem here from Charter, it says link. So both those lights have to either be on or flashing, indicating that data is passing. So if you're not seeing those lights, obviously, there's a problem there.
Right, yep.
So what you're going to want to do is you try to compartmentalize your problems. So what you're going to do now is essentially unplug everything that's downstream from your modem. Okay? So if you've got a router that feeds your whole house, you got a wireless router that feeds your whole house, lots of cables and stuff, you're going to want to unplug those cables, note where they came from, but just have the modem itself tied to the outside world and unplug it. And the first time you unplug it for about a 10 count and plug it back in. And it's going to take about a minute for it to come back up. If it comes back up and the right pattern of lights, and you may have to look up, this is where having a Verizon data plan or an ATT data plan comes in handy when your house system is offline. But you should see a connect and an internet light come on. If you don't, then a problem is most likely with the provider. And that's a good point at which to make a call. If the right lights do come on, indicating you have a connection and you have internet access, now it's time to start working your way downstream. So what I like to do is when I'm troubleshooting it, I turn all the tablets, because you can have 20 or 30 devices in your home that are all vying for attention from your in-home internet connections. So what I like to do, and Brenda's seen me go through this a few times, shut down everything, tablets, laptops, anything that you can shut down, shut it down for the next step of this. Then find your router or your wireless router, if you have one that is separate from your modem. Sometimes a modem has the router built right into it, which is kind of nice, but now you've got a single point of failure. If you have an external router or wireless Wi-Fi, plug that in and let that boot up. In the case of our home, we actually have a Wi-Fi extender. And what it does is that it links with the ATT modem, and it extends the signal out into the living room so we can tie it to our Samsung TV.
It's a good idea to reboot everything.
Reboot everything.
About once a week
yeah.
or so. It just
right.
helps and clean house and any little burps and
right.
and bubbles that are in there that might be potential problems later get cleared out.
Every piece of equipment in your home has its own unique address, called an IP address or a MAC address. And sometimes the numbers, those addresses, they get scrambled up. And then nothing will talk to anything else because it's all very high-speed two-way communication inside your house. So work your way from the service provider downstream to your equipment, at checking it at each step of the way to see where the problem is. Sometimes your router just needs a reset. And this is what, when we talk about doing a power reset, I do three stages. The first one is 10 seconds. The second one is a minute. And if that doesn't work, unplug everything and go do something else for at least 10 minutes. Because what that's doing is that there's memory inside
right.
that device that has to that is still powered up
right.
And has reserves for about 10 minutes time.
Yep.
You want to let that all flatline out.
Right. And it's not going to hurt the core.
Yeah.
Of the equipment by any means. That's the great thing.
There's two different kinds of memory. Yeah,
yeah, you can't do any harm by resetting it. It's not going to mess anything up.
Mm-hmm. Now this is probably a no brainer, but the if you have no electricity, it's not like the old days. If you have no electricity, nothing's going to work. Yeah, especially your phone, because it's not
right.
like the old days. The
yeah.
phone had its own power supply.
Well, the phone got
from
its
the power,
power
yeah.
got it from the phone line.
The phone company had its own power supply.
Oh, yeah, well, there was that, too.
Usually gigantic batteries down at the central office, and about 48 volts would be sitting on the phone line. In fact, that's why you can take a low-cost consumer phone and just plug it in and have things like a speaker phone and ringer and all that. Is that is all powered by the phone line. That's
right.
getting less and less. The phone companies or the communications companies are moving away from that technology as fast as they can because it's a pain to maintain.
Absolutely. Yep. It's like having this gigantically long power cord
yep.
between you and the central office of the phone company. Yep.
So does your modem have the right lights? Check. Does your phone still work? Yes or no. If you have a VoIP system and your phone isn't working, that makes it more likely either you've got a total failure of your modem
or some kind of wiring problem
or something has gone wrong with the service.
Mm-hmm. Well, that too.
Is everything in your house connecting or just some things not connecting? That's a big clue.
Yep.
If you have absolutely nothing anywhere, then that's indicative of a larger system problem. And here's a trick, too. If you've got a laptop in the house, take the laptop over to the modem and use a network cable and plug directly into the modem. Bypass your Wi-Fi, bypass your downstream routers, bypass everything, plug directly into the modem, and then there's a address, plug into the modem, open up a browser, and depending on the brand of modem you have, and you may want to have this written on a piece of paper, maybe taped to the modem, there's an address, usually it's 192.168.0.1, decimal 0, decimal 1. You enter that in, and now you're looking inside the modem.
Right.
And you may have to enter a username and password. By the way, if you are savvy enough to do this, be savvy enough to change the default password your modem.
Absolutely.
Because, I don't know, and you may be able to reach your service provider's website, and they can further help you troubleshoot your system.
Mm-hmm.
But be patient. Call customer service if you need to. But there's a lot of ways that you can, in the case of the radio station here, the reset took about 15 minutes, but we eventually got our internet back, thank goodness. So
that was after a call-in, though.
That was after I called in, and I patiently went through the tree, and it's going to ask, maybe I wasn't so patient.
Yeah, and it doesn't care.
If you yell at it, it just gets confused.
Well, or if you yell at it, it is not able to interpret irritation.
Yeah, it's like yelling at your Alexa.
Yeah.
Or yelling at your Google Home.
Yeah. Smart speaker. Or yelling at your phone.
Yeah. Now, if you've got a tablet or phone and you're experiencing problem with your in-home Wi-Fi, turn the Wi-Fi on your phone or tablet off if you've got a separate 4G connection. And that way you'll be able to access the internet through your phone's data plan.
Right.
However,
but you can, or you may need to reboot the device completely altogether.
Remember to turn your Wi-Fi back on, or you'll be sucking data out through your data straw device.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do movie, I know people who watch movies over their data plan, which just, I cringe at the idea of that. Well, you have a friend who's, they won't connect to the Wi-Fi. They'll watch movies through the data plan.
I don't understand.
And he gets nailed with overages.
Well, I don't know if that's happening, but yeah, not using your Wi-Fi at home.
It's right there.
Even though you have a data plan, is a good way to overrun your data plan.
Yeah. This stuff, I know it's hard to explain and put it in very, very simple terms, but this stuff is so much easier than it used to be.
You can't ever go wrong with a reboot, reset, a power off.
Reboot, reset, make sure there's power, then maybe you need a service call.
Right.
But they've got this stuff pretty robust. Now, I have had modems fail, and that's a possibility, but it's very rarely the first possibility.
Right, that's not a common occurrence.
Yeah. It
does happen, but you have to eliminate a lot of other things first, and as you are fond of saying when it comes to troubleshooting these things and doing these things, start with the simplest thing first.
Simplest things first.
And that's, often works.
Yeah. Before you assume that there's this massive failure, it could be something as, because the plugs that they plug in the equipment with these days are just little wall warts. Maybe the wall wart has come out of the power strip.
Mm-hmm. Or it's had a failure.
Maybe you have a cat.
Maybe it chews wires.
We have wire-killing cats.
Well, dogs will do that too. So.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yes, the dog has been known to occasionally destroy some wires.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Pets. Yeah. And if you have a pet bunny or a pet hamster or a pet guinea pig, all of which like to chew on things, so it's just pets.
So what you're going to want to do things like have that customer service number taped to the side of your modem. You're going to want to change your passwords. And this is stuff you can look up ahead of time when you do have internet. So that when you don't have internet, you're not sitting there without the information.
Right.
So I would just take an index card and some tape, write down these numbers, write down your customer service number for whoever your provider is, write down if you need to have a billing code or something, and just have that taped to the side of the modem, and that will help them help you a whole lot faster.
With luck, you have to do this rarely, but as with anything, that if you only need access rarely or you are using it rarely.
When you do need it, boy, do you need
it. Yeah, exactly. You need that information, and it's not something that you use on an everyday basis. So make sure you write it down.
Yep. When we come back in our next hour of Boomer Tech Radio, we got lots more tech news you can use. By the way, you want to check the show out, boomertechradio.com. You can go to Stitcher, iTunes, or Google Play Store. TuneIn Radio, all of those have ways to download the show. We want to give a big thank you to Advanced Automotive of Reading, Safe Reliable Car Care, for their customers and our community, for being primary sponsors of this broadcast and podcast. It's Bob and Brenda with the tech news you can use. We'll be back with more of it after the top of the hour break.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, Community Talk Radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRostra. There appears to be no end in sight to the flu epidemic.
The flu season is still getting worse. Acting CDC Director Ann Schuchat says it's as bad as the swine flu epidemic of 2009.
I wish that there were better news this week, but almost everything we're looking at is bad news.
This year's flu season has been dominated by a strain that causes more severe disease, more hospitalizations, and more deaths. Schuchat says 10% of deaths last week were from the flu or pneumonia, including more than 60 children. And the peak is not yet in sight. This is the 11th week of elevated flu activity. In the last 5 years, seasons have lasted as long as 20 weeks. Warren Levinson, New York.
Two police officers were killed today while responding to a call in Ohio.
The incident occurred around 1 p.m. local time. The city of Westerville confirmed by Twitter that two of the city's officers were killed in the line of duty. They were responding to a 911 hang-up call when the shooting occurred. A suspect is in custody and is said to be injured. Val Dior reporting.
The autopsy results on the Las Vegas gunman who killed 58 people and injured more than 800 others when he opened fire from a hotel window back in October show he was slightly overweight, but other than that, nothing unusual about his body or his brain.
The report says that he was a completely healthy 64-year-old with a couple of minor heart issues, but nothing that stood out for anyone that was his age. His brain was sent to Stanford University for further analysis, but there were no abnormalities found in his brain after that study.
Correspondent Michael Balsamo says the autopsy was released on Friday. The Justice Department's number three official planning to step down, Rachel Brand, leaving for the top legal job at Walmart. She became Associate Attorney General back in May. And L.L. Bean putting a one-year limit now on most returns to reduce abuse and fraud after they found returns of severely worn items, including some retrieved from trash bins or purchased at thrift stores, doubled. This is townhall.com.
You know, you can get tremendous pain relief benefits with Relief Factor without any of the negative side effects of ibuprofen. Why? Because this is natural, healthy stuff. There are no side effects. There's no prescription drugs. There's no chemicals. Just good, healthy dietary supplements that unleash your own body's natural healing powers. 80% of people who start with a quick start, just $19.95 for 3 whole weeks, end up getting more Relief Factor. You should give it a try. Again, you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. $19.95 comes to 95 cents a day. That's less than a cup of coffee a day for pain relief. Go to relieffactor.com. Read all the testimonials. Find out about it for yourself and order that quick start. Just $19.95 or 95 cents a day for 3 weeks. Or you can call them. It's toll free. They can answer all your questions. 1-800-500-8384. That's toll free. 1-800-500-8384. Relieffactor.com.
A decision by a Tokyo public school to adopt designer Giorgio Armani uniforms for their students is triggering criticism. This in a country where hefty school tuition's already burdening parents.
The new uniform option, costing more than $730 in full, consists of a navy blue jacket and matching trousers or skirt, a long sleeve shirt and a hat. It's more than twice the price of the current uniforms. In Japan, where a sense of belonging and conformity are valued, uniforms are worn at most secondary schools and used to be considered durable and thrifty. One popular education commentator says a top fashion brand at a public elementary school, it's like saying no to poor people and welcoming only those who take pride in Amani. The school's principal says he chose Amani because its boutique is near the school. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
And you can get more on these stories simply by logging on to townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstrom. Union Pacific says it expects to finish installing and testing a new automatic braking system on the railroad by the end of 2020.
The Omaha, Nebraska-based railroad says it's continuing to install the required positive train control system on 17,000 miles of its track. The installation should be largely done this year. However, the railroad expects to continue testing and refining the system in the next year and in 2020. Union Pacific operates 32,400 miles of track in 23 western states.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. Officials with the NTSB have been urging railroads to install such systems for years because they can prevent deadly railroad crashes. A battlefield in the woods of northeast Georgia being reclaimed so visitors can see the shallow graves of fallen soldiers. The Kettle Creek Battlefield is also known as the Hornet's Nest due to the resistance by the Southerners who live there. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com. where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
Welcome back. It's Boomer Tech Radio. That's the name of the program, the name of your host. One of them is Bob Belongi.
And the other is Brenda Belongi.
Welcome to the show with goodies, gadgets, gizmos, the tech news you could use. Every week we broadcast, podcast, the stuff that we find interesting, and an odd number of people seem to find it interesting as well. At least that's what we hear when we encounter people. We go,
oh, so far as we know.
Love your show. If you want to give us some more direct feedback, of course, boomertechradio@gmail.com, or you can log on to boomertechradio.com and leave a comment. That is also where you can download the latest episodes. Or if you are a podcast-type listening person, go to iTunes or Google Play Store, Stitcher, or TuneIn Radio, and you can download individual episodes of this show. You can also listen to us on your Echo or your Google Home.
Mm-hmm.
We have done it. We tried it.
We had to experiment with that.
It's Jean-Luc Picard talking to his starship.
Very much like that.
Although, if you ask your Alexa for tea Earl Grey hot,
she has
a very snarky answer. Yeah, sorry. Also, ask her to open the pod bay doors.
Oh, yeah, that's good, too.
That's pretty funny. Well, at long last, Facebook says they want to test a downvote button, which they're not. It's not really a dislike button.
Yeah, this is so Facebook.
Yeah,
they used to have a down thumbs, right?
No, they have been. people have wanted for years for there to be a down. And Zuckerberg's whole thing is that everything is sunshine and roses, and if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
Well, there's
have you looked at Facebook
that.
Lately? Lots of people say there's a lot of people who should shut up under that philosophy.
Well, yeah, there's that too, right?
Yeah.
So this is a thumbs down gesture, and there's a thumbs up, and they call it a down vote, which is perhaps not the best choice of words. What it does is it says essentially that this material may not be appropriate,
right,
or is offensive or something of that nature. And so I think it's Facebook's attempt to have more eyes looking at the data content for bad stuff.
Yeah. Now, of course, when I see this, I'm mindful of a couple of shows that we watch. One of them was the Oroville, which was a sadly brief.
No, they're coming back.
Oh, they are coming. Okay.
Yeah,
you did look that up.
Yep, I looked that up the other night.
Only ran for half a season, and of course it's a clear cut Star Trek ripoff.
Well, and
it
pokes fun at a lot of things, but the topics they cover are pretty deep.
Yeah, they do get into. Seth MacFarlane has an interesting sense of humor / social commentary, satire. There's a lot of satire in there. But one of the episodes involved an entire culture based on how well you were liked, whether you got up votes or down votes. And in this show, if you got too many down votes, you were put to death. Now, another show called Black Mirror had a very similar theme where your entire social, not only your social status, but your where you could live, if you qualified for credit, what kind of car you could rent, all depended upon your up-down status. And you had to have a positive score above a certain number before you could live in a certain part of town. Your entire worth was dependent on your score. It was like it was as if you had your credit score or something like that tattooed on your forehead, and that's how people define their interactions with you.
Yep, a dynamic tattoo because it could change with the
right
the whim of other people. So yeah, always trying to impress somebody else favorably type of thing led to some interesting little side notes on culture.
Mm-hmm.
But this downvote of Facebook's is. Not a dislike or unlike or something like that. It's supposed to be a flag, if you will, and it doesn't think automatically that something's inappropriate or what have you. I could see this being misused.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Easily.
Well, I don't agree with what this person says.
Yeah, so. Right. Exactly. Therefore,
which Reddit has a big problem with this. They have an up or down vote, and a lot of people will jump all over. You know, somebody will post a picture, and a bunch of trolls will jump all over. And for those who define their worth, just like in these TV shows, for those who, a lot of people define their self-worth by the number of
likes or
dislikes they get on their Instagram or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're leaving themselves open to abuse by bullies.
In the world of technology, there are always new industries to come out. And in this particular case, it's been tech addiction and things like that. Who would have thought we'd see this? It's just a twist on age-old human experiences, but still.
Yep. So, a lot. Remember Google Glass during its brief exposure to the world, and it creeped a lot of people out. You would walk into a restaurant with this thing clomped on your head, and it was obviously a live camera, and people would get very freaky about it. Now, never mind, which is odd considering that if you're just walking around town, you are caught on dozens and dozens of cameras anywhere you go. And as you drive, you're on people's porch cameras.
Yep.
If you walk into a store, look at the ceiling. All those little black bumps on the ceiling, those are all cameras.
Can be seen lots of places.
We've got nothing on Great Britain. Great Britain has
Europe
cameras. Yeah, Europe in general. Cameras everywhere, and people just understand that is a
part of life.
Yeah, that's part of life. We're a little more independently minded here in the U.S., which is a good thing. So imagine if cops, and if there was a big thing about the body cams.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked with the Reading chief of police about that. The idea of body cams is still undecided because on the one hand, there are those who say we want to hold officers accountable for every action.
Right.
On the other hand,
you can't always see what's going on.
You can't see what's going on, and people who may have committed no crime or done nothing wrong are now being captured on a police camera.
Right.
Who's got the job of scrubbing through that footage, you know,
right,
and getting rid of the stuff and the sheer act of, let's say you've got 20 officers on a shift and every one of them is recording 8 hours of high resolution data.
The volume of data is shockingly high.
It's a staggering amount. So they haven't worked the bugs out of this. Not to mention the fact that if there is an altercation, let's say a scuffle, all you're going to see is, in the terms of a former police chief here,
a lot of
light, dark, light, dark, light, dark, light, dark.
Yeah. That too, maybe.
Yeah, sky ground. And if you've ever seen any of these, it's not like you're watching it on a feature film. It's more like watching one of these things on Funniest Home Videos. Suddenly everything goes, you know, and it's all a blur. And
you can't tell.
Then you see the effort.
There's no resolution as to what happened.
By the way, I'm going to throw this out. You want a great example of when a camera is involved in a collision. What's the keywords on that Columbia River boat collision?
I just typed in Columbia River fishing boat collision or something like that.
If nothing else ever convinces you of the wisdom of wearing a life jacket, this video will do it.
I believe it was published via the Oregonian, but I can look that up.
These guys are in a fishing boat near Astoria, Oregon, near the mouth of the Columbia, which is a very wide stretch of river. It's a couple of miles across right there, I think.
Yeah, it's very broad in that area.
These guys are in an open fishing boat, minding their fishing. And in the background, you see a small dot that gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And this was taken with a GoPro. And suddenly you realize that this is a very large, and I think it's a Bayliner, which
yes.
If you know anything about boats, Bayliners are like the they're like the motorhomes of the waterways. These things are huge. And this Bayliner bears down on this boat a third its size and just plows right through the middle of it. The guys on the boat, the three men on the boat, went over the side. And this is into the Columbia River, which is all of about 50 degrees,
it's
if you're lucky, on a good day.
Not terribly warm.
All three of them, in a later video, interview portion of the video, said they don't go out now without their life jackets on.
Yeah, you can find it on YouTube under Scuttlebutt Sailing News. And it's actually a professional guide, angling something or another. But all I did was Google Columbia River fish boat accident, and it's the first one that came up.
Whew. But it's a chilling video.
And they have, what's nice about it is they have two different angles as to what happened and what the people did, and then also they showed pictures of the aftermath. And the very end of the little YouTube video shows them out on the river again and another day, and they're wearing their life jackets,
yeah.
And they make reference to this incident. So if you think you have time to don a life jacket because it's right there, you won't. You don't. It doesn't happen. Just be wearing it anyway.
Doesn't matter if you're an excellent swimmer.
This
if you get hit
gone,
by a big boat.
This could have gone so,
yeah, it could have been
so
very tragic.
Badly. The folks have the documentation. There's no doubt that this boat hit the guy, the fishing boat. It's all caught on video.
And allegedly, the operator of the other vessel was fiddling with his phone. Really?
And, well, it's that style of hull is very difficult to see over the bow when you're not necessarily all the way up on plane yet,
yeah.
Or what have you. Or it's difficult to see over the bow when you are on plane and you are not standing up at the helm.
Yeah.
So, but interestingly enough, allegedly the operator of the Bayliner also said that he didn't think he should be sued because nobody got hurt. I call having to be fished out of the river and almost hypothermic. I would call that an injury.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that the boat looks like it went through a dump truck.
Yeah, it didn't sink the fishing boat.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I want to know what that fishing boat was.
Yeah, it's a you know, kind of a jet. It's
anyway,
a jet boat.
These things that previous to this we strictly had to rely on eyewitness accounts are now caught on camera routinely. Like we said in the last hour, there were these GoPros and other selfie stick cameras all over the place at the opening ceremonies. Because you weren't going to tell these kids they weren't going to capture this moment on a camera. That wasn't going to work. In China, of course, surveillance is definitely a name of the game. You know, they're not too bothered by these personal civil liberties concerns.
Just, they have different views about that, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Surveillance in China means the authorities know pretty much everything about you whenever you show up on a camera somewhere. Police are now have a new weapon with which to fight crime and capture criminals and generally keep tabs on the populace. High-tech glasses that allow for facial recognition at the push of a button, according to the Hong Kong Free Press. Four police officers in the city of Zhengzhou?
I think so. I don't know. I'm not very good with mine.
Have started wearing glasses when patrolling the city's east, I assume that's train station. The glasses are linked to a smartphone. The officer can look at an individual, take the photo, and have the person's face recognized and information brought up on the handheld. And this is going to become pretty much standard practice among law enforcement. Right now, when you are pulled over, the officer has a portable data terminal in his, usually it's like a Toughbook computer, in the cruiser, and he's typed in your license number.
Right.
And if you have any warrants out, if the license, you know, registered owner, has warrants out or is a person of interest, it will flag up. All silently, so there's no radio traffic on it. Is this an intrusion of personal rights? Yes, in a way, but it also may save an officer's life if there was a bulletin out on an individual. Just before we did this broadcast, there was a tragic incident of two law enforcement officers losing their lives in the line of duty, responding to a 911 call, and they were apparently ambushed. And this has become a thing.
It's just evil.
Yeah, it is. It is absolutely evil.
So, switching gears a little bit, a lot of folks text. I happen to prefer that as a direct line of communication. Some people used to, you know, say Facebook was their primary way. That's lousy for us. I don't look at Facebook for days on end.
We had people trying to reach us through Facebook Messenger, and it just didn't happen.
It didn't work very well, yeah. Mm-mm. And actually, Facebook Messenger app to get a message, but to communicate on Facebook, I don't think so. At any rate, in texting, there are these little things called emojis. Everybody's pretty familiar with emojis.
They have their own movie now, which was really bad.
Supposedly, the critics kind of panned it, didn't they? And the original emoji was the smiley face. Mm-hmm. I used to have a swag lamp lantern hanging in my bedroom that was this big yellow ball with a smiley face on it. And so now there's tons of
not
emojis.
Not to date myself, but I remember when the smiley face was a new thing.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Some people can have whole conversations using nothing but emojis or, you know, convey information. Well, as if we didn't have enough of them, now we have new ones coming out in 2018, some of which rather mystify me, like
157 different new emojis.
The bare leg. It's just the leg,
okay,
or
yeah,
just the foot from just above the ankle
abacus
down.
Just looking at this. Now, some of these are cultural references.
They must be.
Others, like what is obviously a germ, a mosquito.
Yeah,
a parrot,
mosquito. What do you mean,
peacock,
a mosquito?
There's a magnet.
There's a mango.
Yeah. Okay, that's a mango. I was trying to figure out what that
And was. There's a number of faces. It looks like most of the ones that are coming are more object-oriented. One's a Petri dish. I like the Jolly Roger flag. A roll of toilet paper.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not quite sure. But, you know, hey, let's go
see
TP Johnson.
I'd rather
see
the TP than the
what it's used
the poop
for. They do have the poop emoji, you know?
It's like a receipt. There's actually, there's 157 new emojis, but that includes skin tone and gender variations.
Right, right.
But there are 69 unique symbols.
There's a test tube with a very toxic green-looking liquid in it,
yeah,
giving
yeah.
off bubbles.
Yeah. There's a toolkit.
A safety pin.
DNA.
Yeah, they have the DNA helix. Did you mention the peacock? Peacock's
yeah.
kind of cool. There's a little party emoji. It has wearing a party hat and has one of those things you blow on and it uncurls. And some confetti. That's kind of cute.
Yeah.
And
there's a puzzle piece.
Yeah, there's... Nazar amulet.
Mm.
Again, cultural references there that I'm, you know, not personally familiar with. A leafy green like a head of romaine lettuce. I'm not quite sure what that's about, but
badger.
Yeah, lobster.
Bagels.
Bagels. Yeah.
Oh, that's a ball of yarn. I thought it was an alien.
with
the little antennae sticking out.
Oh,
you know,
no.
Soap.
Those are knitting needles. A shoe, Captain America's shield in motion. It sort of looks like okay. Captain America's shield.
By the way, well, you want to see
lacrosse,
the whole list.
Lacrosse, for like, I don't know what they call it, the basket that you use, you know, on the pole.
You want to see the whole list of these, go to Business Insider and Google in Business Insider New Emoji 2018.
Just what we need is more emojis.
More ways to limit the written word.
Yep. So you were talking about the policeman finding this or that using a camera. It's interesting how many apps are designed to work with your camera. This comes from King Commando, which is she does a tech show, and this is through USA Today.
Who has more listeners in 10 seconds than we have in our entire broadcast.
Yeah, well, maybe that's a good thing. I'm not sure. But this article that's posted on the Boomer Tech Flipboard page through USA Today has some really interesting ones. You can use your camera as a visual search engine. If you don't know what something is or you're looking for something
similar.
Can
find, yeah.
Yes, yeah, that's pretty cool. And being a power shopper, it's much the same thing. Take a picture of something and you can go like through eBay and it'll pull up things that look like that. And a lot of it is consumer oriented, actually. It says that you can also do math by taking a picture. Now, I'm not sure. It's called PhotoMath app. PhotoMath. There we go. I want to know if it does differential equations. Or is it?
Oh no, that's it. Yeah.
Relegated to relatively simple problems, right? But it will do that, and we've seen this, taking pictures of writing in a foreign language.
To translate.
And try to get it translated.
The universal translator.
Yeah, that has improved. Well, this one's, you know, of course, not audio. It would be visual by the camera using that. So not unlike the apps for QR codes and other things like that. It can read UPC symbols and stuff like that as well if you want to do some comparative shopping and the like.
Yeah, let's see here. This is kind of interesting. You can use your camera to scan the shipping label on an Amazon box and find out what it is. Now, the concern here is that
porch
pirates, yeah.
We'll do that before. There is a great viral video online of some porch thief. I don't know where it was. They didn't specify. But this car cruises along looking for such things, and the house's security camera shows that UPS had made a delivery. And not too long after that, this car pulls in the neighborhood. Now, whether it was following the UPS truck or not is another story. It wasn't following it directly. This lady jumps out of the car, runs up to the porch, grabs the package, is cutting back across the lawn to the car with the package in hand. She falls and quite obviously compound fractures, breaks her leg. Her foot's dangling at this horrid angle. She's screaming and hollering. The guy that's driving the car comes over, picks her up, puts her in the car, and then comes back and gets the package.
Oh, geez.
What a moron. But
so all law enforcement had
justice.
To do was check the local emergency
exactly.
rooms.
Exactly. I'm sure they caught him. There wasn't anything about that part of the story on there, but I'm pretty sure they were able to identify this person pretty easily because that was the kind of injury that you're not just going to go home and blow off and fix it yourself.
By the way, after you get your Amazon Echo, if you want to do more than just barbecue time, or in the case of what we did this morning was in the aftermath of me having this cataract surgery, I have drops that have to be three different drops at five-minute intervals. Well, of course, being lazy, we just verbally tell the Echo to give us five-minute timers, and it makes it a little bit easier rather than sit there and stare at a clock all the time. But if you get yourself an Amazon Echo, there's some things that you can add to really bring your home into the George Jetson age. And we'll talk about a couple, and then we'll take the break and finish up the list. Philips Hue light bulbs, which are the best ones available. There's some lower-cost light bulbs. The Hues are about $40 a pop, but there are lower-cost units out there. But being able to turn on and off your lights or set your dimming level just by telling...
That's kind of cool.
Turn lights down 50% or give me mood lighting A or whatever. Really a neat touch. And like I said, it very much makes you feel like you're on the bridge of your starship. Easy to install. There's no special wiring, no special programming. Screw the bulb in place of your existing bulb, sync it with your Echo, and then your voice command you can actually set up schedules and things and use your voice command to turn on, off all lights, turn on the living room light, make the bedroom light cooler, warmer. You can also set up routines. You can get a four-bulb starter kit of Philips Hue white bulbs for about $88, which is a pretty cool deal.
Yep.
We'll talk about more of the goodies that you should get, goodies, gadgets, and gizmos that'll go along with an Amazon Echo. We'll talk about that right after these messages on Boomer Tech Radio.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
North State Security is Northern California's premier private security agency, and with over 125 security officers, we're prepared to serve you effectually in whatever your challenges may be. Regardless of what your immediate or constant disturbances may be, North State Security stands ready to respond around the clock, any and every day of the year. You've seen our marked security units around town day and night, driven by our best and trained to face modern challenges with courage and poise. With an average response time of 8 minutes from initial call to our arrival, many clients find peace of mind with our special response program providing immediate protection for their personnel and customers. Call North State Security Incorporated at 243-0295 for a free consultation on the effectiveness of our services at the pinnacle of crime prevention.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech,
Five-Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five-Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five-Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
And into the home stretch of the broadcast podcast that brings you tech news you can use each and every week. Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. Theme music composed and performed by George Wood. I promised I'd give a little acknowledgement to George when we adopted this as our theme almost 10 years ago. By golly.
Gary.
Yeah. Called It Be It Junkie and used by permission off PodSafe Music Network.
One of the big themes at CES this year was the smart home and the Amazon Echo. Before the break, we were talking about the Amazon Echo.
Yeah.
And that's one of the major features of an Amazon Echo. So you'd talked about the lighting, Bob.
Right. Now, for years, home automation systems were either custom wired, very expensive systems, or you could get what was called Powerhouse or X10. Radio Shack sold a lot of these things. You can still buy this stuff on X10.com. And a lot of people had these remote-controlled switches that you could have up to 256 of them on your network, and you had your house code and device code, and you would set the little things, and you could usually go on, off. In fact, I had a whole set of video cameras that were powered on or off by an X10 code. And the way that worked is that it sent a signal down the power line, an analog modulated signal down the power line that the receiver would pick up and interpret. And that's been around for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
But it had length limitations. It had you could only have so many devices on the line. It was relatively cheap, but if it got out of sync, it was kind of a pain in the butt to fix. And of course, dimming lights and things like that, you still had something of an issue with. But with thanks to having Amazon Echo, you can, and all these things tying into your home Wi-Fi. See, the Wi-Fi is now taking the place of the power line connections. as far as signal goes, and smart plugs are a really big thing. Belkin has got a lot of smart plugs out.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you can. So it's as simple with the right tools in your Amazon Echo. You can go, you know, hey, well, that's like more like Google, but the same difference. I don't want to give the A word because it'll fire off mm-hmm. somebody's Amazon Echo.
But, yeah, these things are like $30, and it's a remote-controlled outlet. And
right.
Did I remember to turn off the iron?
Yeah.
And you can actually call this. You can either do it verbally, or you have an app on your phone, and you can remotely
right.
switch off
exactly.
Your iron. Energy-saving thermostats. Well, we definitely we have had a Nest for some years now, and we almost never have to actually pay attention to it. It does a pretty good job of following our habits and turning the heating and cooling on and off as needed.
Who knows who it reports all that information to?
Well,
but
we get a Nest report, and we get our little leads. And, you know. people who think, well, now they are watching your house.
I don't think so. Although that is another feature that you can do with a smart home through the Amazon Echo is have security systems that are controlled mm-hmm. by that as well, from the point of view that you can remote into it or tell the system to unlock the back door if it's been locked and the neighbor kid shows up or something, you know, whatever. And this could be a boon to people who are physically limited
right.
or what have you, or you're sick and just getting out of bed is more than you can deal with type right. of thing. You can let folks in the house and you can lock the doors behind people that leave the house.
Yep.
Well, all with voice command.
One of the top rated smart thermostats, in addition to the Nest, is the one everybody knows, but the Echo B4, can do things like you can ask what's the temperature in the bedroom, so you can set it up in different zones. You can say change the temperature in the bedroom to X degrees, 70 degrees. You can say increase or decrease the temperature by 2 degrees.
Nifty.
Yeah, and for about $238. Which
is pretty similar.
Yeah, very, very much in line with the price of a Nest.
And also an entertainment center, such as you'd talked about before, they used to install really expensive ones.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all now on voice command and really doesn't cost very much at all.
Right. If, working out the smart remote with about 300 buttons can be a little bit daunting. But if you get the Harmony Home Hub, there's a mouthful.
Yeah. Say that fast.
It's a smart hub that lets you streamline all your entertainment devices and speakers and TVs, gaming systems. You can set up programmed activities. For example, you can say, let's watch football, and it'll do all the thing, turn on the TV, set the streaming device or your tuner to the right channel, turn on your sound system.
That's crazy.
Let's watch a movie on Netflix. And, in fact, there's integration now with certain brands of TV where you can request through an Alexa a specific movie.
Right. That's pretty cool. It's probably going to become a standard thing.
Not the flu.
I would assume that's going to become a standard thing with time, actually, because it's so easy to get used to something like mm-hmm. that.
Now, my mom, who is recovering, she can get around. For a long time, she was unable to get out of bed during the recovery from some medical issues. This would have been a neat thing to have in the house. This is an August smart lock. It pairs with an Amazon Echo. It's a smart lock that lets you check, first of all, to see, is my front door locked? If it's not, then lock it. Or if you have a visitor, you say, unlock the front door without having to push on a button or anything like that. So for somebody who is mobility limited,
mm-hmm.
This could be really something. And again, could something like this possibly be hacked? Yes, it needs to be properly installed. A lock can be picked. A door can be kicked in.
Yeah, I mean, windows can be broken. It's not like it's more secure or anything. It's just convenience of operation is how you would think of it.
Yeah. Harmony Home Hub, which we talked about, is about $80. Just thinking about what this thing can do. Pretty amazing. So the big... moving into... amazing things.
Yeah, how technology can be done.
Now,
almost with not practical things, nefarious things, but just fun things.
Now, a lot of people have snidely said, this was a colossal waste of money sending a sports car into space when there's so many problems to solve here on Earth. You know what? I've been hearing that argument since the end of the Apollo program, and it's a load of crap.
Well,
forgive me for saying that.
Lots of people have ideas about how other people should be.
What do we have to show for abandoning our space program at the end of the 1970s?
There's that.
What
too.
Do we have to show for it? Now, Elon Musk launched a Tesla into space, and
his
personal car, and young people are fired up about the possibilities of a space program again, a privately enterprised space program. And it was a great way to test and promote the Falcon Heavy rocket, which is the biggest thing launched since the Saturn V.
Right. So if you're not aware of what happened, Elon Musk put a dummy in the driver's seat of his Tesla and launched it into space with one of his rockets. And it's actually going to be flying around out there for a little while.
Now, Starman, as the pilot, and if you look at the shot on TechCrunch and some of the screenshots, this was actually streamed on video. That video feed is down, but you can see it on YouTube and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The visual was actually inspired by the 1980 movie Heavy Metal. There's a sequence where an astronaut re-enters the atmosphere in a Corvette and comes down to ground and then drives away. That sequence of a convertible with a spaceman at the wheel is what inspired the Tesla Roadster being shot up into space.
Right, and by the way, the top is down on the Roadster.
Yeah, the top is down. Great shot of from the front of the Tesla of Starman, the dummy,
right,
sitting at the wheel, and then the Earth in the background. It's awesome.
It is. It is pretty cool.
Yes, he could have spent the money to help the poor. That's not his job. That's not his job to help the poor. I'm sorry. But it did inspire. You know, you imagine a 10, 11, 12-year-old kid seeing this and going, okay, I want to be part of this future. the car is going to be floating around for quite some time.
Right.
Until it smacks into something or falls apart.
Well, in
the orbit, you looked up the orbit.
Allegedly, I'm not sure if this is authentic or not, but the orbit crosses the path of Mars orbit twice within the next year, and then it comes back by Earth sometime next year, I believe.
Mm-hmm. From what I recall, spotted on telescopes.
Oh yeah, it's been tracked on telescopes and such like. So it's just a little bit different kind of space object that we have out there. So I'm not entirely sure if it's going to go out into deep space eventually.
It looks like it's just going to be in a highly elliptical orbit.
It may be.
It'll pass back through Earth's orbit. It's not going to come down and crash and hit some. I love it when people give you, what if it falls down and hits people? Is he going to sue him?
That probably wouldn't survive reentry.
Right. A Tesla would not do well on reentry. A small piece of the block might, or one of the batteries might. No, it doesn't have a block even. It's an electric motor.
So. I really wish that they had put some ability on it to send back telemetry.
Yeah, yeah.
During its whole lifespan out there.
During the entire lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there'll be, whether it's got tracking on it or not, but interesting.
It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. This is what actors do when their careers fade away. Of course, Jim Carrey, who enjoyed a brief career, like him or love him, Jim Carrey had a fair number of successful movies. He had a fair number of really bad movies. But Jim Carrey, the star, of course, of The Mask, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, and other...
Played the Joker in Batman, didn't he?
No, there was a forgettable role. No, he was the Riddler.
Oh, Riddler, thank you, that's right.
Yeah, he was in green leotards with question marks
that's
on
right,
him.
That's right, that's right, green leotards.
Very forgettable.
I forgive me, Batman fans, I get these things mixed up all the time.
Jim Carrey, of course, being the wise leader of humanity that he purports himself to be, says Facebook users should delete their account, all in the name of he's dumping Facebook stock and deleting his page because a social media giant profited from Russian interference and says the company's not doing enough to stop it. The 56-year-old, let's face it, washed-up actor, encouraged other investors and users to do the same. He ended his tweet with the hashtag unfriend Facebook. Facebook has not responded to Carrey's tweet. And I noticed he did this on Twitter. Founder and CEO Mark Zuckerberg has said stemming the flow of misinformation is among the company's foremost goals. And the people act like this is something brand spanking new. And propaganda, misinformation, has been the stock in trade of conflict as long as there has been conflict.
True.
It's just faster now.
But does anybody really care if Jim Carrey has a Facebook page or not?
Honestly,
does this make a difference in your everyday life to the point of where...
Not particularly.
Seriously. But it's like, okay, that's your right. Have at it. Want to make a statement? Go for it. No problem. See you later.
Yeah. So, another big piece. If you have a really old iPhone or iPad, you may have heard of this one. An Apple intern apparently leaked and posted online part of the source code for the iOS operating system.
Oopsie.
Yeah, according to Motherboard, the intern who stole the code took it and distributed it to a small group of five friends in the iOS jailbreak community in order to help them with their ongoing effort to circumvent Apple's mobile operating system to take the locks off of it. The former employee who's probably going to be facing some serious litigation, because I have no doubt that this guy had to sign some non-disclosure agreements before they even let him in through the door.
I would think so.
Took internal software tools and stuff and gave them to friends who were trying to crack Apple's security. The plan was originally, his intentions were noble. He wanted, this code was never to leave the circle of five friends. But apparently, somebody tried to impress somebody else, tried to impress his girlfriend, probably. Hey, look at this. I got secret Apple codes. And it is now everywhere. Eventually, the code was posted to a chat group and then shared to Reddit. It was removed automatically, but then it posted again to a site called GitHub, and now pretty much everybody's got it. Now, there's been a takedown notice, but the trouble with digital, of course, is that if anybody's got it, everybody's got it.
Well, Apple insists that there's really not too many problems. They don't seem to be too concerned about this. Maybe that's so nobody else is. The code that was released is already 3 years old, and the security patches and whatnot that have gone on apparently are not, aren't a problem. And they say the security of their products doesn't depend on the secrecy of their source code anyway.
Yeah, and that could be just PR stuff,
exactly,
trying to minimize the
kind
damage,
of cool and things down a little bit. Yeah, and
keep investors
so
from freaking out.
Yep, and. But there's probably been patches and fixes and things like that to this leaked code that make it a bit obsolete, or the kind of a so what, although it could be used for other things as well. I mean, once you have that key to the device, then you can develop more things, is my understanding.
Yeah.
So, or use it for different purposes or whatever. Oh, well, yep. You know, a slice of Apple news right there.
So, materials science marches on and on.
Indeed.
This was an interesting little piece out of New Atlas. And a new process, researchers at the University of Maryland have come up with a way to take wood and make it as strong as steel.
Mm-hmm.
The leader of the team has been working to give it an even longer list of uses. So far, he has developed a transparent form of wood, burnt wood water filters, and batteries based on wood and leaves. This new, what they call super wood, gets strength through a two-step processes. It is compressed and made to be 12 times denser than originally, which gives it an extremely high tensile strength and has definite possibilities. Now, I'm not sure how well it would burn or if it would burn at all, but as a building material, structural materials, this has some definite possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they put it through a kind of a chemical process, and they take out some stuff, and this is called a densification project or process, and so that's why it's almost as strong as steel, or rivals steel's strength anyway, mm-hmm. because of that compacting of the, it doesn't have, you know, wood can be somewhat porous even, actually.
This could literally be used in cars, airplanes, buildings, any application where steel is used, and can even be applied to things like pine and balsa, which are very fast-growing, environmentally friendly, and can be used to replace denser woods in construction of furniture and buildings. And apparently the process is allegedly quite
eco-friendly.
Eco-friendly.
Right. If nothing else, it is a new renewable resource in that capacity, whereas when it comes to metals and such like, there's only so much of that around. But
right.
We can always grow more trees.
Yeah, we can. So, pretty amazing stuff. And I'm going to flip back here. Often during the course of a show, new stuff comes in. Of course, we've talked about there's a new Windows 10 update that you should be seeing come through. The spring update, it's called. This new build, build 17093. Now, one of the things that people have complained about, apparently, with Windows 10 is what a pain in the butt it is to get it to pair with Bluetooth.
Mm, I haven't tried that.
Microsoft is testing a new Bluetooth feature, Bluetooth pairing, and this will be a little bit faster than having to dig into settings to find a section at a Bluetooth device. This is going to be partnered up with companies including Logitech for streamlined Bluetooth pairing, because right now you got to find the device,
yep.
and you got to type in a code,
yep.
and then it may or may not connect. Kind of a pain, actually.
Yeah.
There should be a whole lot less sweat.
Well, you know, it used to be a big deal when you got a new printer or something, you had to load the drivers and whatnot.
Oh,
now,
yeah,
and
yeah.
then plug and play came along, and that was just like, cool. You know, the devices talk to each other or whatever they did in order to get the drivers into your printer drivers into your computer. So this is maybe the next step beyond that to make life a little bit easier.
Yeah. Oh, let's see here. Let's see here. I was going to look at some last minute tech news here before we finish up the program. Nothing new there. But so we're going to talk about how you can contact the show. Of course, you can go to. Oh, here's a story that came up. My tablet froze, and I was having to stall for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Brenda's very familiar with that. Story out of Android Authority. The latest version of Android Messages indicates that you might be able to, and one of the things that is kind of frustrating is if you wanted to send a text message off your computer to someone,
mm-hmm.
a very cumbersome process. According to the Android message app for your PC is going to be able to send messages to a Android phone,
mm.
just like you can sending a text message.
Can you get them back, though? Can you get a reply back?
Apparently so. It's called RCS, Rich Communication Services. It's going to let you share your location, attach high-resolution images, videos, and audio. You can also do group chats, add and remove members, enable things like read receipts and typing indicators.
Pretty much the full functionality.
That's kind of cool when you're doing a text message with someone and you get so and so is typing instead of they get the message or not.
Yeah, there's that, right? Yeah.
So it looks like Google will be getting some of these RCS functions. Messages, Google Messages, looks like it's probably going to be a competitor for iMessage. Now, a lot of people use Skype for just text messages in addition to voice and video. So lots of ways to stay in contact with each other. If you want to stay in contact with us here at Boomer Tech Radio, of course, you can drop an email to boomertechradio@gmail.com. You can log on to our website, boomertechradio.com. Leave a comment. Download an episode of the show, which you can also do.
Ask a question.
You can ask questions, suggest ideas. Say, when are you guys just going to give it up? Whatever comes to your mind, we would be more than happy to hear from you here on Boomer Tech Radio. We love bringing you the show. We've been doing it for over 9 years now, and we every week is new discoveries here, and we are happy to bring them to you.
That's the great thing about tech is it's a never-ending source of information because it's always changing.
Yep. So it's Bob and Brenda saying, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe, be good to each other.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com. where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com, I'm Ron DeRockstrup. IOC spokesman Mark Adams says a handshake between the president of South Korea and the North Korean leader's sister was a great moment in history.
From everyone's point of view, it was quite an historic moment and something that, as you know, the IOC have been gently working for since probably 2014.
During a luncheon at the South Korean presidential palace today, hosted by President Moon